من يرد الله به خيرا يفقهه في الدين.
I have to learn the things I need to do my fardu ains, like regulations of salah and just how much to pay zakah. The parts of Hajj I have to do, it's Ramadan and I've the flu. It's time to self-assess. Do I know the 17 types of salah, the 3 types of Hajj, the rulings of Ramadan? This obligates all Muslimin to learn the laws and what they mean. Welcome to Outlining Fiqh. We have with us today Sheikh Abu Toba and several students of Fiqh from around the world. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan.
Alhamdulillah, we are in a summary of Islamic jurisprudence by Sheikh Saleh Fozan. And if you're following along in the PDF file, the page number is 292. And if you're in the printed book, English translation, then the page number will be 275. So let's begin. We're in Unit 5, Inheritance, Chapter 7, Inheritance of Sisters with Daughters and Inheritance of Maternal Siblings. So Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In case there is a daughter of the deceased or more, with one or more full or paternal half-sisters of the deceased, the existing daughter, whether one or more, is or are to be given her or their prescribed share. However, the majority of scholars from amongst the companions and the successors of the companions believe that full sisters or paternal half-sisters form an agnate relation with the daughters. This is what the scholars of inheritance call agnation with other relatives. Thus, they are to be given whatever remains from the prescribed share of the daughter's or the son's daughter. This is illustrated in the hadith compiled by al-Bukhari and other compilers of hadith that states what may mean. Abu Musa, may Allah be pleased with him, was asked regarding a case of inheritance in which the deceased had left a daughter. A son's daughter, and a sister. He said, the daughter is to take one half, and the sister is to take one half. Abu Musa added, go to Ibn Mas'ud and he will tell you the same. Ibn Mas'ud was asked and was told of Abu Musa's verdict. Ibn Mas'ud then said, if I give the same verdict, I would stray and would not be of the rightly guided. The verdict I will give in this case will be the same as that of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One half is for the daughter, 1/6 for the son's daughter, and that both shares make 2/3 of the total estate, and the rest is for the sister. This hadith is a clear proof that the sister, with the existence of a daughter, is considered an agnate relative, and is to be given what remains of the prescribed share of the daughter and the son's daughter. A maternal sibling, whether a male or a female, is to inherit 1/6, and if they are 2 or more, they are to inherit 1/3, and then it is to be divided equally among them, whether males or females. In this regard, Allah, exalted be He, says what may mean, and if a man or woman leaves neither ascendants nor descendants, but has a brother or a sister, then for each one of them is a sixth. But if they are more than 2, they share a third. Quran Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 12. Muslim scholars have unanimously agreed that the siblings intended in the ayah are maternal half-brothers and sisters. It was even recited by Ibn Mas'ud and Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas in the following way of recitation, meaning, but has a brother or a sister by the same mother. Allah, exalted be He, has mentioned the siblings in this ayah without giving preference to anyone over the other. Accordingly, the female is equal to the male in this regard. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, may Allah have mercy on him, said what may mean, this is the sound analogical deduction and the balance that conforms with the meaning of the Quranic ayah and the understanding of the prominent companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sheikh, can you clarify the Arabic of the variation of the recitation but has a brother or a sister by the same mother?
No, this is a qira'ah that's no longer in usage, okay? Okay, yes, let me clarify. Look, the Qur'an had come down and some ayat were abrogated. أَوْ نُنْسِ بِهَا Allah made them be forgotten or he changed them. نُنْسِخْ نَنْسَخْ مِنْ آيَاتٍ So these are some of the ayat that the Sahaba had written down but were no longer considered Qur'an anymore. Does that make sense?
Naam, yes, Sheikh.
Okay, let me say it again because there was some hesitation, so I want to make sure you understand. Okay, Allah revealed the Qur'an, but it came down over a period of 23 years, okay? During this time, some of the ayat were what we call nansakh, or, you know, meaning that Allah took the language and changed the wording. And so the original wording was not the last wording that was done when Jibreel recited the Quran to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his last Ramadan, where he recited to him twice. So we call these, but some of the Sahaba had written them down. So the writing, we still may find it in one of their explanations or commentaries, right? But it's no longer part of the final version of the Quran. Then there's something else we call qira'at, where there are different variations of how a particular ayah can be recited. Some of those changes may be intonations, like we say, abarir or abarar, right? So that's one thing. Or sirat or sirat or zirat for the word sirat, right? So there's those different variations. Or we said, hal asaytum, hal asitum. So it might be a fatha or a dhamma, or waqul, or it says pull, right? So there might be an added wow or taken away in a particular say, or the order might be changed, you know, fatathabbatu, fatabayyanu, and these types of different changes we'll find in the Quran. That's called qira'at. And those changes are tafsir for one another. Allah says, Maliki yawmiddin. And he also says, Maliki yawmiddin. So it's as if the same ayah, even though it has two different wordings, but each wording supports the other and is a tafsir for the other one. Okay? And so when we learn Quran, they say the first meaning of the Quran is the meaning of the Quran by Quran. People used to think that meant by finding other ayat in the Quran to explain that ayah. But what it initially means is reciting that same ayah in a different qira'ah. And in that different qira'ah, it will explain and be part of the tafsir of that ayah. And then if that's not enough, then you can go to other ayat that explain the ayah, similar ayah or ayat that come, you know, yufassiru tilkal ayah. So that's what I would like to add about the Quran. I hope it benefits.
Nah, jazakallah khair, Sheikh. I was just curious because I was wondering if it was a qira'a or if it was an abrogated ayah.
No, it's not. And when we say abrogated, no, it's not abrogated. It's nuskha, meaning it's totally wiped out in that regard. Okay, it's not like that in the Quran. Okay, anymore. Okay.
Nah, understood. I'm just writing this down. Okay, to continue. One maternal sibling is to inherit 1/6, provided that the three following conditions are fulfilled. The first condition, the non-existence of a descendant heir. The second condition, the non-existence of an ascendant male heir, such as a father of the deceased or the deceased's paternal grandfather, and so forth, in ascending lineage.
Meaning the fathers or the paternal great-grandfather and the paternal great-great-grandfather. And it's very important that we clarify that this science not only teaches us who inherits from us, but it teaches us lineage and who is closer related to you and who is not. Mm. Okay? And even the word itself, relative, you know, It shows related to what? It's relative to this and relative to that. Okay? So the language, if you follow it, it really is important to understanding context here. Go ahead.
Nah. The third condition, he or she must be alone. As for the inheritance of maternal siblings, they are to inherit one-third under three conditions. They are as follows. The first condition, they must be two or more, whether males, females, or both males and females. The second condition, the non-existence of a male descendant heir, namely, a deceased son or a grandson by the son, and so forth, in descending lineage.
Okay, so again, if there is a deceased son, okay, or I'm sorry, a male descendant heir, i.e. the descendant son or grandson or great-grandson, then that blocks other people. That blocks the males and the females. You get my point? From the other side. Maternal siblings. Continue.
Now, the third condition. The non-existence of an ascendant male heir, namely the father and the paternal grandfather, and so forth, in ascending lineage.
So what we learn here, because sometimes you'll see this written down as two and three, as the first condition, as though it's one condition. And the way they do that is just state that there is no, you know, the non-existence of a descendant heir or ascendant heir. Get my point? Male, ascendant, descendant, heir. As long as there is no male, descendant, or ascendant male heir. Because that's really the first condition. If there is the father, the grandfather, and so forth. If it is the son, the grandson, and so forth. Then you don't have to worry about the first condition, about it being two or more, whether males or females, or males, female, or female and male. Okay, so just
does
look
it
at the
matter per- if... Sorry, does it matter if the ascendant male, Yashef, is maternal or paternal?
Of course, it has to be paternal. Okay, it's
so,
always talking.
So there's an ascendant maternal male.
Well, because we're talking about male. And now we're talking about maternal siblings.
Count.
We're talking about maternal siblings, so obviously the deceased is a female, right?
Right.
Okay, so that's the only reason why we're talking about maternal siblings here.
Okay, so...
You get it?
Well, no. The deceased could be a male, because if you can have brothers and sisters from your mother's side or brothers and sisters from your father's side. And a man can have brothers and sisters from his father's side.
No, you're right. I'm
sorry.
You're correct.
From his mother's side.
You're correct.
And then... Okay, alhamdulillah. And
then no, you're correct.
From his mother's side, he could have a grandfather of his mother. That's what I'm asking. So he could have a grandfather of his mother, or she could have a grandfather of his mother.
But that skips her, doesn't it?
Or a great grandfather of his mother.
No, it
skips the mom.
Right. The ascendant male has to be the paternal. Okay? The ascendant male heir has to be the paternal grandfather, and so on, going upwards.
Okay? If the mother and father are dead, this person's an orphan, or they've deceased in adulthood. The mother and father
They only
dead.
Do one person at a time.
The deceased. No, I'm saying, like, if the deceased, the person who just died, his parents are already dead. He has a maternal grandfather that survived and a paternal grandfather that survived. You're saying only
the
paternal grandfather.
We're only
looking
at
the brothers and sisters.
We're only looking at the paternal grandfathers. Okay, because
that's what I'm asking.
I'm clarifying that the usul with inheritance, first and foremost, and the closest your family members is always from your father's side. That's your immediate family. And so if they are there, then they block everybody else. If they are not there, then the door opens up for the other relatives, maternal. So the first inheritors are your paternal grandfather, father, grandfather in ascending order, and your son, your and grandson in the descending order. Does that make sense? Assalamu alaikum.
Dr. Maisha, we can't hear you if you're speaking.
I'm sorry. I had to get to my phone. Okay. It does and it doesn't. I'm struggling.
Why doesn't
with it? It's like if I have, because they're still fathers. Like if you have
No, they're not
a maternal
still
grandfather.
You don't understand it then, because they're not still fathers. Their sperm is not the same. And the effect of their them on the child.
Yeah, your mom gives an X, not a Y. No, that's correct. Genetically, your mom gives your mom gives the X of that line, not the Y. The Y has to come through the paternal line only.
Well, even if we couldn't say it scientifically,
yeah, the Y goes.
Even if we can't say it scientifically, Allah has made it clear to us that the child is on the male side. The child, even we say in social, you see a woman pregnant, you say, who's the father? Whose is it? There's this statement, whose is it? And it's not like we don't know what the woman is having the child, but it's a thing. And maybe it's because, and just throwing this out there, because he impregnates her. She doesn't impregnate him. So there's this activity going out, and she is receiving on that, as opposed to, you know, the other way around. And so I believe that part of the reasoning is that aggressive nature from the male is tagging that child and identifying that child, and it's always going to be that way with this particular child, his lineage. So like if a woman has two different children from two different fathers, they may share some DNA, but their DNA is different, even though they have the same mother. But if the father has, you know, children from different mothers, those children are 100% his children. It's considered their half brothers and sisters if they have the same mother but different fathers, even though the kuffar do it backwards. Okay? And so, what do you call it? Islamically, a man can have full-blooded children who are fully bloodedly related to each other from different women, as long as they are his, directly his. You know? So, alhamdulillah, Allahu a'lam, you know better, you know, how that works out, you know, from a DNA perspective. I have heard that the so-called blood test isn't really indicative. I don't know how true that is or anything like that. Could you explain that to us?
What do you mean?
I've heard
I don't know what you're asking.
Okay, I've heard, and I don't know how true this is, but I'm asking you. I've heard that when people do blood tests with their father, that really doesn't tell if that's your father or not. I don't know. Is that
you
true
mean
or
the
not?
Blood typing?
I don't know what they're talking about. I really don't know what they're talking about.
They're talking about blood typing. They're talking about ABO groups. That can only exclude because there's certain combinations that can't happen. Like if you're a certain blood type and your father's your so-called father, your identified, your named father is a different blood type. Depending on how you inherit, it's not possible that you could be the blood type that you are with this particular father and mother combination. Like if both your mother and father are blood type A, you can't be blood type AB. There had to be somebody with blood type B. So that's why it's not, it can only exclude, it can't include. That's why the DNA testing is way more accurate. And even with the DNA testing, there can be mistakes.
MashaAllah. I guess that's what
they're,
I guess
it can be not 100% accurate.
Right,
but the DNA test isn't blood. You can just use saliva. You don't need blood. So they're talking about blood type.
Nah, mashallah. Jazakumullah khair. Barakallahu feekum. Alhamdulillah. It is excellent to have you in the class to explain some of these things to us. Alhamdulillah.
So can I just make sure I understood this? So the deceased, whatever gender, has maternal and paternal grandfather alive. The inheritance is only for the paternal grandfather. But if there's no paternal grandfathers, if there are no paternal fathers, meaning no paternal grandfather, great grandfather, and so on, now the inheritance goes to their sons. So if there are no sons, well, there's, yeah, with sons would be before grandfathers.
Right, the sons would take first precedence, but I get your point, no problem.
Yeah, sons would take first precedence. So now there are no sons and no daughters, because it goes sons then daughters, right?
Yes.
And neither exists, then it goes up to paternal grandfathers. But what if there are no paternal grandfathers and there are only maternal grandfathers?
Well, maternal grandfathers.
Do they precede the siblings?
No. Then here it says here that this is the inheritance of the maternal.
Then it goes
siblings.
To the siblings.
Right. It still goes to the maternal siblings. Okay. So here, maternal siblings. Who are we talking about? Okay. What is a maternal sibling? That's what we should have defined in the beginning.
Okay. Maternal sibling means you have the same mother, but you may differ in fathers.
Okay, so we call this your half brother and sister. That's what I was referring to earlier. Okay.
Right. And so, if you have,
but you
no,
see how there, but if you, you, have you see neither. How this maternal sibling is considered only after the parental siblings, or I mean, not siblings, relations
paternal.
are non-existent.
Yes, yeah, so when all the paternal relations are non-existent, now you move to your maternal siblings.
Right. Okay. So this is to show, again, that the blood is connected, but not as strong with even paternal siblings that have a different mother. This is what Allah is teaching us here. That even if the mother was different, but the father was the same, okay, then their paternal lineage would also have something to do with it. There's a paternal lineage there, okay? I'm sorry, yeah, paternal lineage. And that paternal lineage is stronger than maternal, okay? And Allah knows best. So now we go to the maternal connection, and it goes on. Go ahead. Paternal siblings, I'm sorry, before we do, did you understand it better now?
Yeah, just one more question. So if you have, so we went up and down the paternal lane. Now we go, what if you have paternals, do paternal siblings, I think we said that paternal siblings do not take precedence over maternal siblings. It's just all of them are grouped together and share. If there are two or more, they share one third. If there are
yes,
two,
right.
they share one third and each gets a sixth. So all
no,
the siblings are
no,
on
no,
the
no,
same
no.
level.
Okay, look. No. There's a full sisters or paternal sisters, half sisters. You know, we go in here in this particular way. First, you say full sisters, they have the same mother and father. Okay? Because what we're dealing with here at this particular point is sisters and with daughters and inheritance of maternal siblings. So we're focusing on this one. So if they have full-blooded sisters, meaning the same mother and father for their sisters, and paternal sisters. That's what we're talking about. I didn't mention maternal sisters here. It's talking about paternal,
okay. All right.
Yes, paternal half-sisters, meaning they
full
have a
paternal.
Different... Sorry?
Full or paternal. They have the same father, possibly different mother, or same mother, same father.
Right. Same mother, same father is considered full. Same father, right. different mother is considered paternal half-sisters. But actually in Islam, we don't call this half-sisters. We call this full sister. That's why it's put in English like this. Okay? Because in Arabic, we have the word, you know, shaqiq, which means that it's the same mother and father. But when you have the same father and different mother, it's still considered your full brother, sister.
What are the Arabic terms for the same father and same mother siblings?
Shaqiq. It's considered a shaqiq.
That's also
shaqiq.
That word is also used for the in English, the half brother by the father is also shaqiq?
Yes.
Okay.
No, 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 no. I'm sorry. I spoke too fast. No. the half, okay, let me explain what I mean by this. In Arabic, we do not call a half brother. What we say in English, a half brother or sister or something like that, that term is not used for, what do you call it? People who have the same father, okay? The word shaqiq is not used because that's specific for mother and father, same mother and father. But the other term, I'm trying to think of the other term. I can't remember it off the top of my head. You know, what do you call it?
But it has its own term, so you know that it's paternal.
Yes, they have a term for the paternal and have a term for the maternal as well.
I did lose weight, didn't
and, I? And I just can't remember it off the top of my head. And also, they have a term that means half brother and half sister. Okay, so there's another third term that means this is my half brother. Okay, so I just can't remember it off the top of my head at this moment. And I'm sorry about that. If anybody can remember,
I don't know.
I don't
okay.
know.
Well, then let's go on until we figure it out in next lesson or something like that. Okay, I'll look it up today.
Nah.
Well, I'll try to look it up. I don't know where to look this up.
Nah.
It's gotta come to me.
Okay. The maternal siblings are characterized by five rulings. The first and second rulings. There is no preference for the male over the female among them in an inheritance, whether there is one maternal sibling or more. In case there is only one sibling, Allah exalted be He says what may mean. And if a man or woman leaves neither ascendants nor descendants, but has a brother or a sister, then for each one of them is a sixth. And in case they are many, Allah exalted be He says what may mean, but if they are more than two, they share a third. According to the majority of Muslim scholars, the meaning of kalala is the one who dies, leaving neither ascendants nor descendants. Thus, the non-existence of ascendants and descendants is exceptional in such a case. The descendants include the male and the female.
Okay, you're coming in kind of scratched up. Does anybody else have that?
Yes, I hear that as well.
Yeah, you're coming in really, really scratched up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you're better off now.
Okay. Yeah, that happens sometimes.
Did you do that again?
Randomly. I don't know.
According to the majority of Muslim scholars, start there.
Nah. According to the majority of Muslim scholars, the meaning of kalala is the one who dies, leaving neither ascendants nor descendants. Thus, the non-existence of ascendants and descendants is a condition in such a case. The descendants include the male and the female children and grandchildren, children of the deceased's son, and so forth, in descending lineage. And the ascendants include the father and the paternal grandfather, and so forth, in descending lineage. As a proof
meaning
that
ascending,
there is no
that's
preference.
A mistake. In ascending lineage. That should be ascending lineage,
not
descending.
In ascending lineage. As a proof that there is no preference for the male over the female in this case, Allah exalted be He says what may mean, but if they are more than two, they share a third. Therefore, it is clear that Allah has entitled them to share the inheritance together, and the sharing indicates that each one is given an equal share. The wisdom behind this, Allah knows best, is that they are relatives on the maternal side only, and they all are the same with regard to this. Hence, there is no preference for the male over the female in contrast to kinship through the paternal side.
Okay, notice how they said relatives on the maternal and kinship through the paternal. This is law, so the language is very, very specific, and I just keep wanting to reiterate this point because the Kufar have done a really good job at flipping this mindset and making it seem as if you're related through the mother, you're more strongly related than you are from the father. When Islam clearly shows us that you're more strongly related through your father, your paternal lineage, than you are your maternal. Okay? And so as a Muslim, we have to make this paradigm shift. Okay, and so it teaches us to have more honor for our father. In fact, that's what our names are, right? Are supposed to be. All this makes you shift back to your identity. And of course, in order to make a slave, you have to make the slave lose his identity. So that might be the reason behind why the Kufar flipped this around. Okay? Because you cannot enslave someone who knows who he is, who has a sense of identity.
But then doesn't the Jewish thing go through their mothers?
No, just their sense of being Jewish goes through their mothers. And that's only in the case where they didn't have the father. And that's because they were raped so much. And it's like that whole Rothschild thing. When they don't have enough people to continue the lineage, then they would, and this is only the convert Jews now, right? That, you know, then they would have incest. And in order to produce an offspring, because they want to keep the money in the family. It's all about fear of poverty and this type of thing, and wanting to maintain this idea of Jewry. The Jews have a really weird, inconsistency, hypocrisy. They pretend like you cannot convert to Judaism, but they're mostly all convert Jews, okay? And they become more and more of them convert to Judaism all the time. But they claim Judaism through the mother as what they said they did to preserve their Jewish lineage. But that's only because they want to negate the fact that the Ethiopian Jews are actually original Jews, and there's never been a need for them to do it that way or to claim it. Mm. So let's go back. The Jews are claiming that their maternal lineage is what makes you a Jew. And that as long as your mother was Jewish, you're Jewish, no matter what happened to you. And this is, again, because they were enslaved during that time. The statement does not negate that your father passes down your lineage to you as well. But they're saying even if the mother had a goyim, you know, as a father, then as long as the mother was Jewish, the child is still to be considered Jewish. And this has spread out their ethnicity to what you see today, okay? And of course, with those converting all the time as well. Does that clarify some things?
Yes, and then you said that there was one other point you said that I wouldn't want to.
The Ethiopian Jews never had this condition. They never claimed this condition at all. And they're the only original Jews that we have.
Yeah, I was just trying to figure out if we got that from the Jewish culture, if American culture got that
from
the Jewish
culture. No, it was not. It did not come from the Jewish culture at all. And I shouldn't say those are the only Jews that we have, because we have Jews coming out of Nigeria as well, okay? But the ones that have an unbroken chain of their Judaism prior to anything we have today of what they call modern Judaism is in Ethiopia. Where the ones in the Jews, in fact, the word Igbo itself for the tribe is a mutilization of the word Hebrew. Okay? That's what the word means, Igbo. They're Igbo, they're Hebrew people.
Okay? I never knew that. So, and I studied Igbo. It's crazy. They didn't tell us that in African anthropology.
Well, they probably wouldn't, because remember, the objective of the teacher is to make you a slave, not to educate you. You know? And so we find that in Western, you know, institutionalization is not really a good education. All right. But you can easily find that today. Easily. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen.
Can he repeat the last point? Because I had one more question about that. Oh, sorry.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I don't remember what the question is.
He was asking about we were talking. The last point that we were talking about in terms of the relatives versus the kinship, and what was the last fixed point he just made? I had one more question about it.
That the before descendants we talked about from the father side have to be used up first before you move to the maternal side. And I was saying that this is an issue that we have to make clarity about, because we have been institutionalized into believing that the maternal side is stronger than the paternal. So we don't want to go against our own deen and maintain this faulty, incorrect thought. And so we should make a conscious effort and movement from this thought of maternal lineage being more powerful than or more impacting than paternal. And I said maybe one of the reasons, the fit behind this, is because you lose your identity. In order to be a slave, a broken slave, you have to lose your identity. You know, you cannot be a slave if you remember that your father was an architect, okay? You know, because now you have this noble past, and they want a slave to have no past. Don't you notice that they call people in the United States black? Black has no identity. There's no ethnicity. There's no history to that. And if there is, then we can start it with slavery. So that becomes your part. You were a good slave, or you were a rebellious slave. But nonetheless, you were a slave. If it were to start before that time, it would give you some humanity, right? It would give you some, you know, equality in the world. You were a person from another ethnic group. And now that gives you immediate identification and culture. So in order to have a slave, they have to break ties with your lineage. Okay? And everybody knows that if the Jews actually thought that, you know, lineage was passed down by the mother, they wouldn't have had a problem with Maryam, would they have?
That's a good point.
I'm sorry? I missed something.
Should I continue?
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yes. Go ahead, please.
Okay.
Bismillah.
The third ruling. The male sibling is related to the deceased through a female relative, i.e. his mother. Yet he still has the right to inherit, in contrast to others who do not inherit if the relation to the deceased is through a female, such as the case of a son or a daughter. The fourth ruling. They partially exclude whoever caused their relation to the deceased and decrease his share, namely the mother in this case.
Hold on one second. I want to say something here. Look, third ruling is showing that the brother through the mother is more closely related to the deceased than the son, the nephew. Okay? The nephew. Okay? Why is that? Remember the question I asked before, who's more closely related, your father, or I mean your uncle or your nephew? And we said, of course, the nephew, because the nephew goes back to your brother, or you know, and your brother's related to your father. Okay, but here it's different because it's the sister's son. And the sister's son is not your direct blood like that, or you get my point, not full like that, because his lineage comes from his father, and his father's no blood to you, no kin to you. Okay? He's kin to your what? Your sister.
Oh, okay. So your sister, who has a son, does he inherit from you?
No, the sister does, but her son doesn't.
Her son does not.
Your mother's son does, because he is related to you through your mother. So he's more closely,
your mother's son
from another father is more closely related to you than your sister's son from her husband.
Sheikh.
Well, yeah. Your brother, who's from your mother, is related to you. But your mother, your sister, she's related to you.
Son.
But her son, he's getting his lineage from his father. And
who's usually not related
father.
To you.
Right. Sheikh. Because you and your sister have different fathers. Okay.
Right.
Sheikh.
Yeah.
Excuse me?
Even if you and your sister had same father.
Sheikh, excuse me.
Go ahead, sir.
My mother is calling me for breakfast right now, so I'm getting distracted. Is it okay if I excuse myself and you all can continue the chapter if you want? I've got the PDF showing right here if anyone wants to read, and I'm going to keep the recording going.
No, we'll stop here. No, we'll stop here, and then the next class we'll start at the maternal siblings are characterized by five rulings. That's what we'll do.
Okay,
Yeah,
inshallah.
we got yeah, because I don't understand all those rulings. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Hey.
Well, alhamdulillah. So this was a great lesson. We learned a lot, but let's not rush things. If hadith, usul, and histories are still partially clouded in mysteries, then refrain yourself from speaking, for what can you teach? To have little knowledge and teach is to cheat. Go back to the graph and the knowledge within. There are 38 chapters to finish. Let's begin.